What does hope look like to you? Where do you find hope? Maybe you're like this little boy who played baseball. Baseball season has started, and a man approached the dugout of this little league game, and he said, "Sonny, what's the score?" And this little boy said, 18-0. We're losing." And the man says, "Well, I bet you're discouraged." He goes, "Discouraged? Why would I be discouraged? We haven't even got up to bat yet." I wish we had that kind of hope. But there's many people today that walk into their homes, to their marriages, and to their families, to their jobs, and they don't see any hope. Hopelessness can be paralyzing. Not being able to see past your situation in a tunnel of darkness. What causes hopelessness? I got a few things here that I'm listing today. Fear. Fear of the past. Fear of failure. Fear of hurt. Loneliness. Rejection. Feeling abandoned. Left alone. Family, friends, not there. Maybe you feel all alone in a crowd. Maybe you feel all alone at school. I recently read an article about a 13-year-old kid. He was a phenomenal baseball player, teenager. His dreams were to be in the major leagues, but he was a little bit bigger kid, and he went to school and he began to be teased a lot at school and began to be bullied. They had some meetings with the teachers and principals, but nothing seemed to help. One day, this 13-year-old kid came home, made a selfie video, and says, "I hate my life." And he killed himself. This recently happened, and it got a hold of me. We'll talk about that after a bit. Hopelessness. Financial issues. Not having enough money. Not having enough money. Or not having enough money. How many know what I'm talking about? I'm thankful our hope is not found in money. Addictions can cause hopelessness. You see no way out. Drugs, pornography, alcohol, sexual addictions. Maybe sickness or disease. The doctor's given you a report. You don't see any hope. Maybe the pressures of life, work, and responsibilities are too much to handle. But I've got good news today. There is hope. Amen. That hope is in Jesus. Yes. Yes. Jesus has risen. Yes. Amen. He has risen. Let me remind you of a few things about Jesus. In the book of John, he said a few I ams. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Yes. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life. Yes. I am the good shepherd. Yes. I am the true vine. You can count on Jesus. Yes. If you need hope today, connect yourself to Jesus. Yes. Amen. You're not going to find hope in politics. Oh, we need government. We need those things. But you're not going to find hope. You're not going to find hope in people. You're not going to even find hope in church. I mean, you're going to find Jesus right here at Freedom Church. But if you put all your hope in this church, it's going to fail you. You've got to put your hope in Jesus. Put your hope in Jesus. Amen. I want to give you three ways that Jesus and his resurrection gives us hope. Are you ready? Say, "Oh, yes."
Oh, yes.
All right. Very good. Just stay awake. We got an Easter egg hunt coming. We need all you back there. Number one, Jesus gives us hope for dying. Jesus gives us hope for dying.
Yes.
I've got news for us all. We're all going to die.
Yes.
Isn't that great news? We may not know when, but we're all going to die. This physical life will stop. Our heart will stop beating. Our lungs will stop breathing. We will die.
Yeah.
One day that's going to happen. There's going to be a funeral. We're going to weep and then go back and eat chicken. It's the truth, though. And I got to tell you, I hate death. I hate death. I hate when tragedy strikes. I hate it. It makes me mad. I don't like it. But let me tell you, there is hope because Jesus gave us hope for dying. Jesus gives us hope for dying. I would be an awful preacher if I didn't prepare you for death. We spend a lot of time here on earth, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. Pastor Courtney's grandmother just passed away at 96. I mean, just to think about this heart beating all these years is amazing to me. The same heart. But your life doesn't even compare to the time in eternity, the time after death. You and I are going to spend a whole lot more time dead than we are alive here on this earth. I got two words for you. Be ready. Be ready. But you know what? In eternity, we're going to be more alive than we are here on this earth. We're going to be alive more in eternity in heaven than we are on this earth. Whew. Listen to what Jesus says in John 11, 25 through 26. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Don't you love that? Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die.
Yes.
Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this, Bo? Do you believe this, Sean? Do you believe this, David Ashburn? You could apply your name right here. Do you believe this, Nicole?
Amen.
Amen. If I have my wife with me and the rest of you leave, I am good. All right. I'm just kidding. Don't leave. You see, Jesus told this to Martha when her brother Lazarus had died. Then just to prove that he was who he said he was, he went and raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus didn't say, I've got resurrection within me, or I will be raised from the dead one day. No, he says, I am the resurrection. If you want to have resurrection in you, you've got to live in him and believe in him. Look at those verses again. Look what he says. Anyone who believes in me will live. Next verse. Everyone who lives in me. Let me ask you this question. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you live in Jesus? I'm not talking about just on Sundays. I'm not talking about just once. I'm talking about your whole life. Do you live in Jesus? I mean, is your foundation built upon Jesus? If it's not built on Jesus, you and Jesus have got to have a talk. We've got to build our life to believe in Jesus. I encourage you today to trust and believe in Jesus today.
Amen.
I think about the thief on the cross. I love this. Here he is upon the cross, and he says these words, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you, next week, next year, sometime down the road? No, he says today. Everybody say today.
Today.
Somebody say today.
Today.
I didn't hear very much from this side over here. Someone say today over here.
Today.
Not too bad. How about over here?
Today.
Amen. Sounds like we're at a sports game. Today. I love this from Jesus, though. Today is the day of salvation.
Yes.
Today. What amazing words to hear from Jesus. Today, I will see you in paradise. On the cross, they could not touch, they could not hug, but when they breathed their last, I believe Jesus went first because he died a pretty quick death. Later, that thief died. When they entered together into paradise, they embraced as the most amazing hug in history. Yeah. You know what? I can't wait to give Jesus a hug. I can't wait to worship him face to face. Praise God. Jesus gives me hope for dying. The second point, though, Jesus gives us hope for living today. You know, we don't serve God just to prepare for death. There's a lot of living in between now and death. In fact, I'm not ready to die yet. I mean, I'm ready, but I don't want to yet. I've got a job to do. I've got a family to raise. I want to continue to live, and that's why Jesus gives me hope for today.
Yes.
I love the verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 37. He lists a bunch of bad things, and here's what he says. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Overwhelming victory. It sometimes don't feel very victorious around here, amen? How many know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
I mean, you look on the news, it's called Bad News Hour. Bad things. I mean, sometimes our own life, we can just call it Bad Things Day. I love living in victory. I know what it's like to be miserable, to be depressed, to be discouraged, to be defeated, to be low down, to be woe is me. How many know? How many have ever been in that state of mind? I would rather live in victory 100% of the time. When Jesus walked out of that tomb in victory, he was declaring to you and I have overcome,
yes,
and you can have victory.
Amen.
I have overcome denial,
yes,
betrayal,
yes,
beatings, death. I've overcome it all, and now I'm alive and well.
Amen.
And he says, everyone who follows me can have victory as well. And not just victory, but overwhelming victory.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said it in first service. My kids were in service. They're in the ship now helping with the kids. But I love beating my kids in video games. Because right now, they about beat me all the time. But when I get a chance to beat them, it is a wonderful feeling. And I don't like to lose. I like to win. I want to win in life. I want to see each one of you living in victory as well. It doesn't matter what you've come in with today. You can live in victory. Your family can be victorious. You don't have to be full of fighting, fear, and discouragement all the time. You can be living in victory.
Yes.
Jesus made a way. And then I love this verse, these two verses after in Romans 8. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever, somebody say ever. Somebody say ever.
Ever.
be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Get connected to Jesus.
Yes.
The third thing about Jesus' death, resurrection, that gives me hope. Number three, Jesus gives me hope, so I must give hope to others. Jesus gives me hope, so I must give hope to others. Maybe you have a child or a grandchild that loves to have their toys and have it all theirs. Mine. My toy. This is not what we're to do with Jesus. We're to take what Jesus has given to us and share it with everybody we can. I told you the story about the 13-year-old teenager. This got me because this just happened about a week or two ago. And so, as I began thinking and praying about this, I want every teenager and college student to look at me right now. I want to first of all tell you, you have value. You have purpose. I want you to hear me. God's got a plan bigger for you than you know what to do with. If you would get connected with Jesus, God loves you. He values you. He knows you. No matter what anybody else says, God loves you. Now I need all the Christ-following teenagers and college students to look at me right now. There are students that pass by you every day that are hurting. They walk by, and you know exactly who I'm talking about. There's kids that get picked on. There's kids that get bullied. There's kids, and I want every Christ-following teenager to look at me. You be Jesus to them. You be Jesus to them. They may laugh it off, but you don't know what's affecting them on the inside. I want you to be kind to them. If you can, you stop that bullying. You walk up to them and say, cut it out. Stop it. You might save a life. And if you can't do that, I want you to befriend that person. I want you to be kind to them. And I want you to be Jesus to that person. The reason I say this to teenagers and college students is because you have more interaction with students and other people. I know at work you guys do as well as adults. This applies to everybody. But I'm hoping that at the office, adults aren't picking on one another. I hope not. I had the privilege of going to my wife's school play practice the other day. And I heard, Miss Dismore, Miss Dismore, Miss Dismore, probably about 150 times. So when my wife has told me, you know, just call me Nicole. Now I know why. And our students are faced with a lot of pressure, and they want to get laughs, and a lot of times they'll get laughs by being mean to a kid. We need to be Jesus. All the teenagers said amen.
Amen.
Thank you. See, Jesus did that. Jesus talked to people that not other people would talk to. He talked to lepers. He talked to adulterers. He talked to even Samaritans. And even Samaritan woman. Everybody say, oh. You see, Jesus, he went right past that wall and he talked to people that no one else did. He loved that lady. And I'm going to tell you something. That whole town came to know Jesus because he went beyond the wall of shame. Let me tell you what, God can do something in your life. And God can use you to reach somebody that other people are mean to. We have a mission to share this hope with others. Family, friends, fellow students, I love the verse that Pastor Marco shared. Go quickly and tell. Go quickly and tell somebody. The first thing Jesus told the women after he rose again, Matthew 28:10, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee and they will see me there. Go and tell. Go and tell your family. Go and tell your friends. Go and tell your coworkers. Go and tell. 2 months after Jesus was resurrected, Peter preached a message on the day of Pentecost. In that message, he talked about Jesus being raised from the dead. Look at what he says. God raised Jesus from the dead. This is Peter preaching. And we are all witnesses of this. Wouldn't it have been amazing to be there at that time? They all heard and saw that Jesus was raised from the dead. Many people saw Jesus. Over 500 eyewitnesses of Jesus. Look at what he says. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven, at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. Because of these words that Peter preached, not one person said, "Time out, Peter, we got Jesus' body over here." You're wrong. Yes. Not one person said, "I'm sorry, that didn't happen." They all knew it did. Yes. And I'm telling you, in 2023, Jesus is still alive. Amen. He's still alive. He's still alive and well, and he is saving, healing, and touching lives. Amen. I want to encourage you to take a step of faith today, this week. It may be responding to salvation. It may be responding to someone in need. I know taking a step of faith is scary. There's been so many times I've been afraid to stand up and give a speech in speech class. I was afraid to play the piano. I was afraid. I practiced for so long. I practiced. When I was in a youth group, I had no music, nothing. And I said, "Well, I got to learn the piano." And I practiced and I got ready for my big day. And I remember sitting there at that keyboard. All the youth group was there and I'm playing and I'm singing. Man, I think things are going great. And in the back of that youth group, there was a friend of mine. He was a college friend. We played basketball together, and he was back there, and he was just had this big old goofy grin on his face. It looked like he was laughing at me. As I'm playing and singing, man, I felt so embarrassed. You see, I stood out. I stood, and I took a step of faith, and I got embarrassed. How many know what I'm talking about? You see, I'm asking you to do that same thing. Sometimes you take a step, and then you regret it. As soon as I saw him laughing at me, I stopped playing and I stood up and I grabbed the mic and I said, "I'm never doing that again." So I said to myself. We sang the rest of the praise choruses back then in youth group. This is 30 years ago. At the end of service, I went up to my friend. I said, "Why were you laughing at me?" He says, "I wasn't laughing. I was just so proud of you, I couldn't help but smile." And the Holy Spirit said, "See, don't quit. I'm challenging you right now, don't quit. There is somebody in your life, in your path, your family, your coworkers, that needs to hear the hope of Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you don't want to take a step of faith. I am telling you, don't quit. Don't hold back. Because he wants to do something in you. Will you close your eyes today? I want to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There is hope in Jesus. There is hope in Jesus. I don't know what you came in today with. I don't know if this is your first time here or if you've been here many times. But I want to challenge you today to get connected to Jesus. Will you stand with me today? I am going to ask you this simple question. And I want you to take a bold step of faith. I've got two questions to ask, and then we're going to call for an altar time. We'll get you to the Easter egg hunt in just a few moments. But this could change your life right now. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and today you want to make that decision, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand all over this place. Anybody here today? I know this takes a bold step right now. Is there anybody here? In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. My second question is this. Maybe you've got family, friends, someone close to you that you know needs the hope of Jesus. You know they're not living right. They're not ready to meet Jesus if they should die. And maybe that's you. We're going to take just a few moments, and I'm going to invite you to come to this altar and stand in for them. And say, God, touch my friends and family. Because I want Jesus to meet them. While the worship team begins to play, I'm going to ask you to come and find a place and stand in for your family and friends, because we want to see a great move of God upon those. Yes, come, begin to come. Begin to come. Hallelujah.